Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Some of you know I had an accident, right? Yeah, 2009, broke a lot of bones, run over by my truck. Bad day at the office, they say. But when I sort of went into a coma for a while, 2 weeks and stuff like that. And I was on morphine for quite a number of, maybe a month and a half, 6 weeks or 8 weeks. But when I come off the morphine, I started thinking about work and money and debts. I suddenly realised, you know what, I owe a lot of money. I'm like £23,000 in debt. And I couldn't do anything about it because I was in a terrible state. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of bed. It was tough. Tough times happen to us all, don't they, you know? Anyway, by the grace of God, how did I get out of that debt, £23,000? I'm just going to tell you this very brief story. And the first thing I did, I had all these cards, debit cards, credit cards, and all of that where I borrowed money from to pay wages, buy materials. Don't ask me why I did all of this, but I did. Anyway, I had a business account, bank account, so you have to pay £5 a month, to have a business account. Well, I didn't know, very quickly this, I didn't know that entitled you to extra benefits, meaning that if you got in debt or if you had an accident, the bank would still give you money. They gave me 250 quid a month for 2 years. I said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But I didn't know that was ever going to happen. I mean, literally, I had a business account and it was £4,500 over, what do you call it? Overdraft, that's it. So the bank was putting 250 a month. I couldn't go to work. They was putting 250 a month. It was definitely a month, yeah, into this overdraft. And all I saw, you know, when you look at your bank statements, I saw this debt going down and down and down. Do you know what I'm saying? I had another card. It was a credit card. It was a MasterCard. It was 2,180 quid in debt. You know what happened? I phoned them up. I used to pay £100 a month to pay that off, right? And it only paid off like 50 quid of it. The other 50 quid was interest, right? Anyway, you know what happened? I phoned this lady up. I said, oh, it's John Gilbert here. I said, I'll pay you £100 a month. Yeah, a month or something like that. I said, can you slash it to 50? I'm in a bad situation. She said, what's happened to you? I said, I've had an accident, blah, 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 blah. She said, I've got to tell you something. I thought it was only 5% that it paid off every month. She said, no, you've got a really good deal, she said. It pays 10% of your debt for the next over the next year. I said, what? So hear this out, 2,180 quid. They paid every month 218 quid off that debt. And with over the year, it paid off the whole debt. Thank you very much. I had another debt. It was £12,000. Or it was about 12 grand. Do you know what happened? I said to my brother, go down the bank and talk to them about this debt, please. And he did. And you know what happened? You know, Aviva Insurance, it was a business loan. And I had an insurance on this business loan. I was paying £15 a month insurance on the loan. They paid £300 a month off the debt for 3 years, right? Praise the Lord, right? Anyway, that went from 12 grand down to 4,500 quid. What I'm saying, I'm going to rush this. By the end of 3 years, I had one debt left. It was 4,500, right? And I thought, I've got to sort this debt out. And I still wasn't back at work. And I went home to my dad. I went and saw Beryl, who I mentioned in my prayer. I said, Beryl, I've got to talk to Dad about this debt I've got. And I just wondered if he'd lend me $4,500 and I'll pay him back £100 a month for as long as it takes. She said, oh, I'll talk to him. I went back up there a week later. There was an envelope, $4,500 in it. Okay. And he said, John, there you are. That's for you. I said, Dad, I'll pay you back. I'll give you £100 a month. He said, don't bother. He said, that's for you. Stay out of debt. I've been out of debt ever since. My dad paid it all. Paid the last bit. You know, that's what I'm getting at. I was in debt. But I got out of debt. And the feeling, the relief is so satisfying. Bob, you been there? Have you been there? Many times. Many times. Who's been in debt before? You know what it's like. Mick? Your mortgage is a debt, isn't it? Until you pay that last penny, that house is not yours, is it? Well, I've never had a mortgage, but I've had debt. And it's like you're in a swimming pool or the sea and you're treading water, aren't you? You know, when you're in the sea and you can't feel the bottom. And there's that water is up there and sometimes it's kind of sort of swallow you up. That is debt. And that is, you feel like you're going under. But by the grace of God, I got out of debt. And my dad stepped in at that last minute, gave me that final payment and didn't ask for it back. That's the sort of dad you want, isn't it, boys and girls? Yes, we do. The thing is, today, what I want to tell you, don't worry, Bob. We're all in debt. We're all in debt spiritually to God. Because God is holy, and God is sinless, and God, he's not a sinner that he should be like us. He never told a lie in his life, Jesus, when he was here. He never did anything untoward. He never stabbed anyone in the back. He never blasphemed. He never swore. He never stole. He never, ever did anything wrong. That's Jesus Christ. And God is the same. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. They are the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So Jesus, he never had any spiritual debts. But we do. We've sinned and fallen short, haven't we? Every one of us. Let me show you this verse. Where did I read from? What chapter? What book? Isaiah 53. Yeah, I'll go there, mate. I'll go there. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Look, Dominic's going to put it up here. Right? Look at this verse. It's fascinating. I'll read it to you. Ready, Dom? A-double-L, right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, listen, the iniquity of us all. This is fascinating. Did you notice something with this text, right? Look at the first word. Look at the last word. It's about us. The Father is concerned about our spiritual condition. He's concerned. It's on his mind. All of us. Not just me or Bob, but all of us is on the Father's mind. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's Jehovah God, right? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Incredible. God the Father laid on Jesus Christ my sin and your sin, Margie. Everyone's sin. God laid it on him. Where? Where? When? How? Who? Help me understand. At the cross, at Calvary. That place where the cross was, Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. You know what? Listen to this. And it's something that you might want to do in your own spare time when you read the Bible. There are other great walls in the Bible. And we're going to look at a couple of them. And that song that Mayette sang, led us in song, I noticed the word all a few times. Jesus gave it all. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, haven't they? Romans 3:23. You can look it up if you want, but I'm going to race ahead. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, that is. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all. Who gave himself a ransom for all. That's 1 Timothy 2:6. 1 John 1:5. You can photograph my notes afterwards if you're missing out on the verses. But 1 John 1:5 says this. In him is no darkness at all. Oh, lovely. To know someone who's got no darkness in him, in his character, in his being. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah! Oh, amen. Wonderful. I'll repeat it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's just the best news we want to hear, isn't it? So listen, today what I like to do is consider how the text, this text I read, I'll repeat it so that you're reminded. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it started that we've all gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. You ever see sheep in the field? You ever go up to Ivanhoe Beacon? There's plenty of sheep up there on the hills. They quite often all over the place. One's over there, one's over there. They're, Auntie Betty and Uncle Albert are over there, and Larry the Lamb's over there. All over the place. You know, the beginning of the Bible, we read about the Garden of Eden. Is that not correct? In the book of Genesis. But it said that Eden's fall, as what went wrong in the Garden of Eden, affects us. Because we are all, even though we're different ethnicity, some of us, we're all in the loins of Adam, aren't we? Yes, we are. So, not one of us, if what I'm saying is true, not one of us can say, oh, John, I'm a righteous person. I've never sinned. Hey, is there anyone like that here? Jackie? Not you. Paul? No, not you either. Paul? No, don't worry. Don't worry. You're not a self-righteous man, are you? Someone who says they never sinned. That's not you. I'm going to read a few verses. Not one person is righteous. Romans, go to Romans 3, verse 10. Let's just read a few verses so that everybody can follow and understand. Romans 3, verse 10. Ah, there it is. As it is written, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Oh, I think I'm reading too far. I've got to come back to that later on. There is no one righteous. You know, sometimes you're sitting there looking at me thinking, oh, John's preaching and John's a holy Joe. John's a good bloke. John's always straight talking. I didn't tell my yet this, but the other day I was doing a job. I was fixing a leak or something. I was doing a job and the bloke in the house, it was one of those drug link houses, Paul, right, with loads of tenants in there. And this bloke was going into a panic. He was sort of like cold turkey. Oh, mate, he said, I need a fag. Oh, he was having a panic attack because he hadn't smoked for a while. I felt sorry for him. So I said, you need a fag, do you, mate? He was having a right 2 and 8, right? So I said, how much a packet of fags? Oh, he said about 13 quid. So I opened my wallet, I had a £10 note in it. I said, I got a tenner. That's my last tenner. No, he said, you ain't going to lend it to me. I said, if you want it, you can have it. To go. I wanted it back, right? But I said, you can borrow it. Oh, can I? He said. So I had another 3 or 4 quid in my pocket. Bit of change. I said, look, you can buy a whole packet. And, pardon? Don't worry, mate. I know you're going to say things like that. Don't worry. I lent him it. He said, what's your name? And I thought, what shall I say? Is it John? I said, it's Honest John. I never said that before. Honest John. Then why did I say it was Honest John? Am I honest? Am I without sin? I told him it was Honest John. I'll tell you why I said that. Because I thought, if he doesn't pay me back, it will be in his mind that he stitched up an honest person. Do you understand me, Bob? Anyway, I met up with him again. I knocked on his door. He told me to knock on his door a week later. He said, who is it? I said, it's Honest John. He opened the door. He said, I haven't got your money. Right? I said, okay. He said, come back next week. Anyway, long story. I went down. He asked me to take him to the food bank. Right, I took him to the food bank, got some food, come back. This was Friday afternoon. And we drove past a church called Alexander Road Congregational Church. Maya and I went there last Sunday evening. And I told him, I said, that's a good church. I was evangelising indirectly. I said, that's a good church, that one. He said, is it? I said, yeah, I went there with my wife on Sunday night. And he looked at me. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, actually, I run a church. He said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah. He said, do you know what? Do you know what he said? When you gave me that money, lent me that money, I felt God was looking after me. He confessing with his own mouth. So, you know, you lend something. All right, he wants a packet of fags. It's going to go up in smoke. We know that. But he felt God was helping him. Anyway, I'm waffling on. And I've got a sermon to speak. But the point is, I want to be honest. I want to be righteous. I want to be godly. I don't want to be identified with all this wickedness and sinfulness that we're all so easily tangled up in. The deceitfulness of, I think he said, asp or something like snakes or whatever. Paul is identifying sinners. Anyway, the point is, I have sinned. I have been deceitful. I have lied. I've sat down in a room with a social worker, the youth officer at Walnut's End Youth Club when I was a little 14-year-old. I went to Skate City in South London. You know what Skate City is? You take your skateboard and you go up and down the mounds and things like that. I was there, 14 years old in 1977. Do you know what I did? I was riding a skateboard with Kryptonic wheels on it. They were the best wheels you could put on a skateboard. And I had I knew this guy. He had rubbish wheels on his skateboard. He said, I like them wheels. It wasn't my skateboard. I said, do you want them? He said, yeah. I said, come on, let's swap them over. So we took his rubbish wheels off his skateboard and took the good ones off the one I was riding. It belonged to one of the supervisors at Skate City. We swapped them over thinking no one would notice. These kids came from Longchildon. What do you call it? The adventure playground. And I was the only one that was the odd one out from Warner's End Youth Club. They all pointed the finger at me because it was me. I was guilty. And they held me into this office and they said, listen, some Kryptonic wheels have gone missing off a Marshall skateboard from Skate City. Yeah? And they've been swapped over with some rubbish skateboard and your name's involved. Did you do it? I said, no, I didn't. I wasn't even there. I was there and I did do it. But I convinced him. Well, I didn't convince him. He knew I was lying. And I lied and I lied and I lied. And I got away with it. So that's who I am. That's who I am. Or should I say, that's who I was. It's who I was. I want to be honest, John. If I went to Skate City today, do you think I would do it for Big Dave? Not on his Nelly. I wouldn't be swapping the Kryptonics for his flat rubber tyres. All right? Anyway, let's move on. Have come short of the glory of God, including me. I've been a thief. I've stole the Kryptonics, but is it my fault? Well, I did it. Yes, I did it. But sin lives in me. Someone, Paul, do you want to get Sarah and Dave a seat? Is that all right? Sin lives in me. Sin lives in you. Doesn't it? If you were there that day at Skate City, you would have done the same thing. But the wretchedness of sin, what has it done? It's brought us death. That's what it done. Because Adam and Eve, believe it or not, brothers and sisters, I mean, people say to me, there's too many people living on this earth. 8 billion, 10 billion, whatever the figure is. Well, I'm not convinced. Because had Adam and Eve never sinned, do you know what that means? We would be living forever on planet Earth. Did you know that? And forget 8 billion, there could be 20 billion people on this earth. If 7 billion. I think there's more, mate. But what I'm trying to say is, if sin never came into this world, we would have never died. Adam would have never died. He'd still be around with Eve. We'd be sending him granddad cards on granddad day. He'd be still around. Can you, Adam and Eve, it? Amazing. But because of sin, death has crept in, hasn't it? There we go. That's look, Mayette, to prove the point. Look. Hey, watch. 68, 69. Oh, people are doing it. Unbelievable. Thank you, Dom. Genesis, let's prove the point. Genesis 3, verse 3. It says this. God said, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Romans 6:23, I think it says, for the wages of sin is, yeah, the wages of sin If I keep going to Skate City nicking kryptonic wheels, I'm going to die. Aren't I? I think so. Death is coming to this world and we're all witnesses of it. You go to Ephesians chapter 2 and you can see that there is sin in this world, or death is in this world, a spiritual death. Look at this, chapter 2 verse 1, and you, all right, this one's been made alive in Christ, but Paul is saying, and you he has made alive who you were dead in trespasses and sins. So something happened. God has made someone alive. Well, I thought we're already alive, aren't we? But God has made someone alive spiritually. Did you know that? Did you know that God could wake you up? You can be alive and be asleep. Your soul, did you know that your soul itself can be spiritually dead even though you're alive? Did you know that? There's an electric socket over there. Put your finger in that, lick your finger like that and stick it in that socket and you'll find out if you're alive or not. Yes? Anybody up for that? Don't do this at home, said Dominic. Listen, I'm telling you, you'll find, I've only got to pinch it to realise you're alive. But I'm talking about spiritually. God can wake you up. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, pray to God and say, Lord, Lord, don't pass me by today. Wake me up. Yeah. Anybody asleep at the moment? You can be spiritually asleep, which means you're in a spiritual death. Or you can be physically dead. I'm looking around. Anybody physically dead this morning? No, you're not. You're all alive and well. But anyway, even the Bible says that all of creation groans in pain. Have you heard that? Have you read it? Romans 8:22. The whole of creation is groaning. We went up in a car park yesterday in Watford. We got to the top of the car park. I was looking down. We started singing that song, didn't we, Maya? I'm looking down on creation. La, la, la. Do you remember? But when I looked, it didn't look very pretty. It looked like a dump. Graffiti here, rubbish there. It didn't look pretty at all in Watford, right? But creation is groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, waiting for something to happen in the future, that the sons of God should be revealed. Are you one of those sons or daughters that you will, on the great day when Jesus comes back and he will see us, he will see faith in us, waiting for his reappearance. The creation itself is groaning in pain. And I think in Arkansas, America, Missouri, and places like that, they're having tornadoes just ripping through counties and towns. And oh, we saw it the other day, didn't we, Mayette? The whole city, the whole town of this particular place, the houses were flattened. The cars were smashed up. Creation is groaning in pain. There are the Turkish earthquake on the Syrian border. There's about 40,000 people died because the earth is groaning. It's in pain, the pain of death, until Jesus Christ comes back. Hallelujah, I can't wait. What has caused all of this? Sin. Sin has placed us ourselves in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble, people. We're sitting here in our cosy comforts in Groveville Community Centre. We're in trouble unless we know Jesus Christ. He's coming back soon. I'm going to tell you. This church called New Hope, isn't it? Have you noticed? New Hope. Why is it called New Hope? Because we had no hope. No hope and Bob Hope. That's what we had. Is Bob Hope going to help you? I don't think so. We're sinners, people, and we need saving. Saving by grace. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everybody's turned to his own way. We need saving. And God can save us. Apart from the love of God, there is, brothers and sisters, no hope. If you've got a false religion, you've got no hope. If you're an atheist this morning, you've got no hope. Thankfully, I'm going to cheer you up a bit now after making you depressed. There is love. God does have love. And that love is, look, Romans 5:8, a classic verse. Mentioned it before. Should mention it every week, shouldn't I? Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God, if you're going to remember anything today, remember this. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Please remember that. Who's got a short memory? I have. Eh? Normally I can remember this off the top of my tongue. It can come like that. But today I'm looking it up. God demonstrates his own love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing, isn't it? Does anybody care for you? Have you ever felt, have you ever had self-pity where you think, no one cares for me? Have you ever felt like that? All of us have. No one cares, Paul. No one gives a monkeys about me. Hey, you felt like that. Well, isn't it funny that we've all can relate to that? That verse says the opposite. The verse says the opposite. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't just say for me, for us. Christ died for us. Yeah, I've always said this to people. If I found out that somebody died for me, if I found out that that was true, I'd want to know everything about that person. I want to know who his mum is, who his dad is, how old he was, where he was born, what's his height, what's his weight. I'd want to know it all, wouldn't you? You'd say that person is, if they did that for me, I want to know everything about them. I want to know when their birthday is. Why? I want to go celebrate it with them. I want to give them my time. I want to give them my energy. I want to give them everything I've got. My breath. Give it to them. Don't you? Come on. We have all gone our own way. That's what the verse says. We have turned, second point, we have turned everyone to his own way. You do what you want. You do as you please. You don't care about other people. Even though you find out that Jesus Christ has died for you, you do your own thing. Whatever that may be. Party, discos, whatever. We have turned everyone to his own way. What does that mean? It means that we have chosen. People have chosen to rebel. Rebels with a cause. Anarchy in the UK. Do you remember that? Punk rockers. Yeah, we're going to overthrow the government. Overthrow the Queen. Do you remember, Dave? Rock against everything. That's what we thought. People rebel against the laws of God, the laws of the country. Yes, sometimes you like to go speeding in your van or your car or your hot rod. Yes, or your mobility scooter. You like to break laws, don't you? Does everybody do 30 in a 30? No one's done 60 in a 30 before? Well, once, twice, every day. We rebel. People, even though Jesus Christ has died for us, that's what that verse said. Even when we were sinners, we didn't know God. Jesus died for us. We rebel against God's love, don't we? We rebel against goodness. We rebel against his grace. People do every day. We're rebels, like the movie star. I don't know his name, but rebel without a cause. Something Dean. James Dean. That's it. Thank you, Steve. We rebel against Jesus Christ, you know, and his God's commandments. You know, the Bible says, don't covet, eh? Don't covet. Oh, come on. We all covet, don't we? Yeah. Maybe you're a young lady and you go down a shop and you see all these nice dresses in the shop. You say, oh, I want one of them. Oh, that's nice. Oh, I'll have one of them coats as well. Yeah, I like that. Oh, look, that shoe shop. I'll have a nice pair of shoes. You know, we see, oh, the neighbour. Have you seen the neighbour's extension? Eh? Oh, we got to have one of them just like the Joneses. Isn't that what we do? You don't like what I'm saying, do you? You know, but it's true. This is what we're like. We see something, we see the cake and we want to eat it. Chocolate cake, victorious. Oh, yes, I'll have some of that. We're covetous. We break God's commandments every day. Don't covet your neighbour's wife. Don't covet your neighbour's donkey. And don't covet. We do it every day. I'm sorry. Because we're sinners. Because all have fallen short. Haven't we? We're all guilty. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus went to Jerusalem on today. On Palm Sunday, he rode there on a donkey and the religious authority didn't like him. They actually said, Luke 19:14, we will not have this man to reign over us. It says it. And some people, they go to church. They like to sing the songs. They like to hear the prayers. Oh, they like to do all of it. But they don't want Jesus to be Lord over their life. Because they might have to change. They might have to stop being naughty. And I don't want to go into nitty gritty to put impure thoughts in your mind. But I know what it's like because I've done it myself. I've wanted my own cake and I've wanted to eat it any way that pleases me. I'm telling you, people, I've done all the wrong things in the wrong way. And I've had to repent a lot to be able to come and preach to you today. Without holiness, none of us will see the Lord, and we want to be holy, don't we? We'll have to stop coveting then, won't we? Yes, you know that. I'm telling you, the people, it's funny that on Palm Sunday, that Jesus rode into the city on a donkey, and they were saying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Yeah, wasn't that what they said? Everybody agree with me? That was on the, what day is it today? It's on Palm Sunday. So a week later, what were they doing? 1 minute they were saying Hosanna to the Son of David. Next week they were crucifying him. Why? The reason is, we will not have this man to reign over us. 1 minute they're singing Jesus' his praises, next minute they're crucifying him. That's fickle-mindedness, isn't it? Are we fickle-minded? Are we like that? Two-faced? Yeah, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. You wait. I'm going to stab you in the back for talking to me like that. I'm telling you the truth. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12, wasn't he? Yeah? He even said, one of you is a devil. When the lady broke the alabaster jar, you know Mary of Bethany, right? She broke the jar, she anointed his head with oil. Do you remember the story? She broke the alabaster jar. Cost a lot of money. She broke it and anointed him. 1 year salary. Right? Judas complained. Didn't he? How dreadful. It's awful. This is a year's worth of money. Year's wages. We could have spent this money on the poor. John says he wanted to put it in his back pocket. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that. He said something like it. Because he was a thief. And he was robbing the treasury. Putting it in his back pocket. We had another church once, right? Long time ago, before we came to this church. The collection used to go around. Michael will tell you. Somebody in the church, when it went round, they used to put their hand in and take the money out. I hope no one done that this morning. Mate, yeah, you watch everybody, all right. It's true, Michael will tell you. I think they had a bag like this. I could get my hand in there, look, that's worrying. But the next week, Michael made a box. You couldn't get your fingers in it. Look at that. But people, their attitude, because of people's robbery and sin, that's what led to the cross. And, you know, even today, people are the same. We're rebels. It continues right up to today. Some are happy to go to church, but some will not. You know, they're happy. Well, they come for the cup of tea. They come for the cakes. They come for the food, mate. But what about making Jesus Lord of your life? Will you do that? Will you pray a prayer like this? Lord, you laid your life down for me. I'm going to lay my life down for you. Would anyone pray that? I'll let you think about it. Even when we study the scriptures, we go back in the early, like the Acts of the Apostles, or even in the Old Testament. God called people. God called Jonah. He said, Jonah, the prophet, will you go to Nineveh and preach to that city and say, 40 days, then destruction's coming? Yeah, will you do it? What did he do?
He went
the other way. And that's what we do sometimes. Huh? Samson, he was a judge in Israel. Well, what did he do? God wanted him to express that he's a holy God. Ended up with a girlfriend like Delilah. And then somehow, I don't know where it came from, but Tom Jones was it, sang a song, why Delilah? You know what I'm talking about. You've sung it. I bet you got the record at home. Did you? Did you meet Delilah out there then? Your middle name's not Samson, is it? What, he's called Delilah? You went your own way that time. Believers choose to go their own way and sing why Delilah instead of praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Peter denied the Lord at the cross. Peter denied the Lord at the cross, and Bob said 3 times. He was with the Lord every step of the way. But when it got to the cross, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, it's not I that live, but Christ lives in me. Who of us can say those words? I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Who can say that? I wish I could. But if you scrutinise me and say, John, have you laid this down? Have you laid that down? Have you laid it? That's tough. I better move on before you start stoning me. Whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. We're all guilty, aren't we? There is none of us that are righteous. It's only what we've got in Jesus. Even though while we're sinners, Christ has died for us. If we get a revelation of that, we would never want to sin, would we? We'd never want to covet. We'd never want to steal. We'd never want to lie. Christ died. You know how I started the sermon? I talked about debt, didn't I? Financial debt and spiritual debt. Christ died. Our debts of sin to pay. That's why he's done it. Because whatever our debts are, someone said this, if your sins was written down on a bit of paper, right, you could put one sheet on the floor, you could write another sheet for the sins that you'd done the next day and put that on top of it, then another one, and they'd stack up, you'd reach the heavens, you'd reach the moon. I'll say, yeah, that's me. They're my sins. What about Pat Romney? What about David Peel? Our sins would stack up to hell. What about Michael Brastig? We'd say, that's my sins there. Who's going to pay the debt for those sins so that we could go to heaven? Thank God for Jesus. That's all we can say. Thank God for Jesus. Because whatever we've done to offend God, Jesus has wiped it away. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. And it says in the scripture, that verse, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's good news, isn't it? No wonder it's called the good news. Had to be Jesus. Couldn't be anyone else, Bob. He sent his only son, only begotten son, that whoever will believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we want everlasting life, everybody? We sang a song. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That's what we sang. And this is incredible. You know the word volunteer, don't you? We need some volunteers to stack the chairs out. You hear that word so often. He voluntarily paid our debt. That's incredible, isn't it? He voluntarily paid our debt. And John says he became a propitiation for our sins. It's incredible. Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Dominic, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He knew no sin, did he? He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. That's what it says. 5:21. For he made him, listen, God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is incredible. He knew no sin, but God made him become sin for us. That's really tough to get your head around. And let me move on. Peter, 1 Peter says this, that he... 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And I'm sorry I'm going over time. Verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, if it costs gold, a mountain of gold, God could have said, look, I've got all this gold, all the gold in the world, I'll pay it just to save Bob. That wouldn't have been good enough. Silver or gold, it had to be the blood of Jesus Christ. It had to be shed on the cross for our redemption, for our entrance into heaven. Incredible. This is the theme of heaven. The angels sing about it. The saints will sing about it. As I close, I'll just quickly show you. Revelation 1:5 says this. Oh. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Isn't that incredible? I've got other verses to read, but I'll call it a day. The saints, the angels, when they're in glory, they're praising the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. They're looking for one in heaven who is worthy to open up these seals. It's Jesus Christ, the one who paid it all, the one who paid our debt of sin. Incredible. I'll have to cut it short, but before I do, can I ask you a question? Can I interrogate you a little bit, as if I haven't already done so? Do you accept the fact of your own sinfulness this morning? Every one of you. Do you admit your rebellion as a sinner against God? You come to church, you love to fellowship, but deep down in your heart, we all harbour wickedness. The heart is deceitful above all things, said Jeremiah the prophet. Didn't he? There are things going on in my heart, you don't want to know about it. I'm too embarrassed to say. But it's the truth. Wretched man that I am. Will you accept the one who bore your sins on that cross today? As if you haven't already done. Will you recommit yourself and say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to be like you in this world. Can you do that? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We're needful people. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can get to heaven. With you, we can help one another. We can have faith in each other. You, it is that have restored our outlook on humanity. And when I say humanity, no, in us dwells no good thing, but it's you in us that gives us some form of hope, some form of love and cherishedness for each other and our fellow brother or even our neighbour. Help us, I pray, Lord, to love our neighbour as ourselves, because if you couldn't do that, we'd be ended up killing our neighbour. Lord, we're thankful that you paid it all. You paid the price for our sins so that we can come to the Father when we finally pop our clogs. we can go to glory. There are not many people that are able to say that, but because of the blood, Lord, because of what you've done on the cross, we go free. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Sorry, I've got...
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.